Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Tracy Lamori, who's a high-profile international award-winning publicist and the founder and managing director of Lamori Media. Tracy, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you.
I'm excited to be on. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, international award-winning publicist. God, I can't wait to dive in and learn more about that. But before we begin, tell us what inspired you to become a publicist?
I'll try to tell that in the short version, but it's a hard one. So you might want to Google later to expand on it. But yes, so basically, it wasn't my plan. Growing up, I wanted to be a writer, which funnily enough, I write every day now. I write press releases, I write magazine articles, I write. So I guess that childhood dream did come through, but it was in a roundabout way. And yeah, in my 20s, so I'm 52 now. Never tell your age, but I'm 52 now. And in my 20s, you know, I was a young activist. Now I'm an old activist, but in my job, you know, in entry level work, I was in sales, just, you know, working for other people, selling whatever, you know, business stuff. And my husband, Dave Parkinson, we both had a radio show a few years before that. Our radio show wasn't anymore, but we still had that, you know, passion for finding out things and letting people know about things and for justice and all that. And somehow we came across this story, and it wasn't something that was getting a lot of attention. That was the problem, of a guy who was claiming to be innocent on Pennsylvania death row. So we're 28 years old. We're not lawyers. We're not publicists. We're not, you know, but for some reason, I guess because we'd recently been radio show hosts, this still blew our minds. We had no background in anything like this. But for some reason, my husband and I decided that we were like, how innocent can this guy be? And we decided to write to find out. His name was Jimmy Dennis. He's free man now. And the end of the story was, after a 20-year campaign, he was finally freed from death row. But we got involved as young activists who had no, you know, we weren't publicists, we weren't lawyers. We written this letter, he wrote back a 22-page doc, you know, information about, and basically convinced us the truth that he was innocent, which, you know, nobody was paying attention to. So at that point, what do you do? Oh, that was an interesting read. Thanks so much. You know, so we had to figure out what to do because we had no radio show anymore. My husband learned how to write make a webpage, and I learned how to write a press release. And that was when we were 28. And that began literally a 20-year campaign, and a whole lot of things happened in that time. We finally got a major law firm involved who ended up doing the legal work to overturn the case and all that. But from our perspective, for 20 years, you know, we were involved with that. What we look now, we call it a campaign now, but back then it was just activists looking for, you know, looking for someone powerful who could help.
Wow.
So we talk every day. My husband and I still talk to Jimmy. He calls us his brother and sister. He was released in 2017, absolute innocence. And now if you Google him, just to put that part away, then we'll go back to he's a recording artist and getting a lot of attention from, you know, the powers that be in terms of entertainment. So that's a really fascinating story. And I loved it. I love that now, instead of begging, listen, I used to do radio. I learned to do radio talking about that case. And so now, instead of begging listeners, you know, please help me save his life. Yeah. I can say, available on all streaming platforms, check out his music, Jimmy Dennis. And so it's really nice. So I hope people do go and look at that, because it's all of our dream that we've been able to, you know, change the narrative from Jimmy Dennis, death row prisoner, to Jimmy Dennis, R&B recording artist. And I mean, so that's a fascinating story. But then the business part of it, so I learned to write a press release. And I never thought anything about doing that for business. And I was 28 when we did that, and we did all those things. About 5 years before Jimmy came home, you know, by this time we're 42, me and my husband, and we've obviously been working all that time for other people doing whatever. It suddenly occurred to me, hey, you know, and it's funny because whenever there was something I cared about, like a political candidate I liked or something going on, I would be like, I'll write the press release. And everybody would be like, you'll write the what now? And I would realize, so people that don't understand media or don't understand how to access it. And, you know, through that campaign, we had learned, you know, it wasn't easy to get attention because in those days there were no podcasts about wrongful convictions. You know, someone was convicted, that was it, it was done. We got attention internationally, and then I ended up getting some of the stage. But anyway, I learned how to get media attention on important stuff. And you know, it suddenly occurred to me, hey, you know, that's probably something I could do for a living. I never wanted to get paid for that stuff or for the, you know, causes, but, you know, start to segue that talent into doing it for entrepreneurs, for businesses, for creatives, for film, for TV, for whatever. And so I thought of that when I was 42, and I started working as a freelancer. And one of my first clients, just out of like, in, you know, I was using online sites, you know, that would help connect with free. One of my first clients was Rosa Parks' cousin, Angela Sadler Williamson, right? So then I'm really in the game, you know, here I am, and she thanks me in her film and all kinds of stuff, which gives me the confidence and also the, you know, so I, then, you know, I just kept on going. And my husband and I, and he was working, and, you know, I was doing this like as a freelancer while he was working. And then we incorporated, we became a general partnership in like 7 years ago. And then we incorporated 2 years ago, right in the middle of COVID. And it's actually been, you know, at first COVID was scary, like it was for everybody. I was watching like on the screen and watching all my clients fade away because there was no entertainment, there was no stages, there was no travel. So we lost like 70% of everything in the, of, you know, business in the first couple of months. And then as soon as I thought, wait, you know what, because everything's mindset, even that, as soon as I thought, you know what, if I've lost 70% of business, instead of staring at the screen and watching these leaders and whatever the heck, go downstairs, go to your office and work on the 30% of business that you have and think about ways to pivot. As soon as I started doing that, different things came in because there was always something that needed to be promoted. People, all those people who were at home not working, now they were going to promote their book or they were going to promote their new business. Or so I ended up finding, you know, that out that through a heck of a lot of work, I don't want to make it sound easy because, you know, I've been working like a lot, you know, and part of PR is being strategic and looking at the whole world and finding opportunities for my clients and myself in the whole world. The way I build my brand is indicative of what I do for my clients. Because, you know, for example, over COVID, I appeared in over, you know, I thought, no, I'm not going to sit there and just whatever. I'm going to find ways to keep on being effective. So I was still working really hard. So when I did it, over 2 years, 200 podcasts, radio shows, panels, TV things. And then I thought, you know what? And a lot of times I would take time away from paid work. And I thought, no, but you know what? At the end of this is going to create opportunity. And now when you Google me, it's everywhere. If I want to apply for a job, I tell them a couple things about myself. Then I say, Google me, listen to a couple things.
Incredible.
It's a lot easier. So that's what I tell my clients. You want to get to that point where when people want to know about you, they just Google you. Because I look at things now, and I know not everybody's in media, but I look at things and I'm like, you know, when I go to like even do business with somebody, and if I Google them and everything that's online is stuff that they've said about themselves, okay, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, but then imagine when you're going to drop, say, like one of my clients was an investor, said, you made investors take me more seriously, because imagine if you're going to drop $1 million on a company and then you get a pretty deck. Everybody can make a pretty deck.
Right.
If they pay for it, you know, you Google them and all you see is their socials. Are you that confident? Or, you know, compared to the company that you Google and you see five profiles of them as an disruptor, three interviews with them, them being quoted in Reader's Digest in their space, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It makes a 10,000% difference. And people don't, this is why I speak a lot. Entrepreneurs don't get that. They don't realize that every major business is not a major corporation in the world that doesn't have a communications department. And that's for a reason. But entrepreneurs, we are used to like writing a marketing brochure, but we don't think about the PR aspect. So it's huge. And when people do, they never want to, you know, so I always challenge people, if you have a marketing budget, you know, take a little bit aside for a month and put it into PR. And then you'll see, you know, how you're presented, who you're presented to, but how you're presented, what language they're using. And then even if you weren't going to use a publicist past that, at least you have a better understanding of it now and you can kind of get your feet wet in the space. And then you never know. Like the only difference, they always say, and this is true, the only difference between you and the people that you see on stage getting awards, the people that you see being interviewed, it's not because they're better than you, it's because they're present and they know who to talk to, or they had a publicist pushing them, getting their name in there. So they're in, you know, being considered for that speaking engagement, being considered for that role. They don't just, you know, find you when you're drinking a milkshake at a movie counter, like, you know, Lana Turner in the 40s. It doesn't happen.
And I think now, especially because everything, the online world is so noisy. It's so noisy. If you don't do a little bit more, you're not going to stand out. If you don't build that credibility from, you know, like you said, you know, if you're being Googled, people aren't going to care if it's all written on your website or from your blog about you. They want to hear about you from different sources.
Yeah, just look at different, just compare them. Think about that. If you're like searching for someone, and I tell you, like, the reaction, even, you know, no matter what it is you do, you're in real estate, you're you know, a filmmaker, it doesn't even matter what you do, but like differentiating yourself from your competitor, what you see is, you know, like you get featured in an article, which isn't that hard once you start looking for the opportunities, right? If you're good at what you do. And you get featured in an article or an interview or something, and then all of a sudden you'll see your current clients or your current customers will get excited and share that. Oh, this is my hairstylist. This is my lot. This is my, you know, my real estate agent. This is my, plus, you know, you'll get access to the new clients, potential clients who see it, you know, like they would if there was advertising.
Right.
Right. And then it just continues. Like, I can't tell you how many times someone will contact me and say, oh, I heard you on a podcast and I really loved what you said. I really resonated. People want to do business with people they like. You know, I don't hear from the ones, I'm sure there might be people that click on and they listen to this and they're like, oh, I like what she's saying, but I don't know about that red hair. She doesn't look that serious. Eh, you might turn somebody up. And that's okay. I don't hear from those people. You know, find your tribe, like in everything, be authentic and genuine. I hear from the ones who are like, oh my God, I heard what you said and you said that thing and, you know, I want to work with you. And they've already decided before they contact you because they've heard, they got to know you. You have to put yourself out there.
And sometimes you don't know how your words can change someone's day, which then can lead to something so amazing for them. Like I love, one of the reasons why I have this show is because I realized that throughout my entrepreneurial journey, every friend that would come to me, that would talk to me about whatever their passion was or whatever, I would try to convince them to start a business. Literally, I was like, why don't you start a side hustle?
I get that.
Something. If you're good at that and if you love that, start, and you'll see, you'll start, you know, making money, and you'll make money on your own terms. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And a lot of my colleagues are in corporate, you know, setting and so on. They're used to the steady income. And so for them, entrepreneurship seems so challenging. And it is hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But I realized that over the years, so many of my friends and colleagues turned into entrepreneurs. And it wasn't until recently that we had a gathering and a few of them stood up and said, if it wasn't for Maria to push me, to convince me, I probably would not have taken the leap. And that's where I'm like, well, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this show is because I want to not only share my journey, my ups and downs with my listeners, but also bring in other people who can give them advice, help them, and share, you know, one thing that they figured out that took their business to the next level. And maybe that one thing can help someone who's in the same situation as you or me and can learn from that and save time and money. Ultimately, that's the goal, right? To help others, to save time and money. And then somehow the universe will serve us back. It doesn't necessarily.
100%. Yeah. Like I said, like I spent hours and hours and, you know, like that's taken away from billable time. Like I've done, you know, like all this podcast for free, all this stuff for free. But at the end of the, and you know, like, yeah, I got some clients out of it, but at the end of the day, probably, you know, who knows, I'm not calculating it like that, you know? Yeah. I'm truly providing this information because I know how, like how few entrepreneurs get this part and how essential a component it really is. You know, even just, I'm not saying go and get a publicist, though, you know, I'm available. I work internationally. That's the advertorial part. But no, seriously, though, speaking, you know, on a editorial basis, whether you get me as a publicist, whether you get another publicist, or whether you just like, if you have more time, if your time, you know, crunched like me, get someone else and watch what they do and then learn from it, right? If you're not, if you have more time than money, there are certain things you can do. And I'm happy to give some tips about how you can A, get your head around it, and then B, some real places you can go online to start doing some of these things on your own. But again, you have to understand the pitch before you start willy-nilly, you know, messaging reporters, or you can actually do more damage, you know, to yourself than you expect. Right. You could get, you know, blocked on the first message because you're just sending them some kind of ad instead of something that's, you know, actually, you know, a news story or something that a reporter might want to take. So that's an important Once you understand what, you know, a newsroom needs, what a reporter needs, which is not what the ad department needs. They're not in the business of giving you free advertising. So once you actually understand that component, then there's a lot of stuff you could do for yourself. If you want to spend the time researching and, like, you know, do like I do, which is hours a day and looking at all these different places where you find the incoming stories and pitching. But, you know, most people want to do what they got into business to do.
Of course. And you know, I would love your thoughts on a few things. And if we can kind of go through the initial steps. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about getting out there, doing, podcast interviews, and I've been featured in a few places because of my other company. One thing that I'm trying to figure out is when you get out there, you need to pick a lane. You need to get out there and be known for one thing. What do you suggest for entrepreneurs who are running more than one business?
Right. Let's say actually, I hear that too, because a lot of us power women do a bunch of different things. Like, yeah, while I can say, oh, what do? I do PR. That's actually, I'm lucky that in my business, that's a lot of different things. Because I ask the same thing, because people say, well, what kind of PR? And I say, well, the kind of people in publicity. I work in film. I work with entrepreneurs. I work with music. I don't like politics anymore, but I have worked with politicians. I work with, so really what's the component is what does Tracy work on? Things that I'm passionate about. My role is publicity and getting it out there. But really the only thing, like I say, I work in the cannabis, space. I work in music. I work in film. I like all those things. I like, that's same thing about you. You're known. What happens is you become known, especially in these days where there's so much social media and everything else. I almost think it's wrong thinking to try to, like, it's almost like you're trying to put yourself in a box. Yeah, you have to be known for one thing, but you will naturally be known for whatever you become. What I do with clients is, like, they come to me, hey, I have this business and I want to, get more publicity for me and my business. And I'm like, okay, that's great. We're going to do that. But also tell me more about yourself. Let's have a conversation. And then as we're talking to them, I might find out they love horseback riding. That might be irrelevant, but no, it might be relevant, because maybe I'll see Equestrian Magazine next week is going to be doing profiles with people who ride. Well, when they talk about it, they're not only going to be talking about that. They're going to go into detail about their business. So you're a whole person in real life. And on the interweb, you can't be, your business is your business page, and you're not like splashing everything all over into the different inappropriate spaces. But as you become better known, it's like a celebrity. You can compartmentalize what you're talking about on a stage that day, or what you're talking about in this book, or what you're there to speak about. But as you become better known, maybe you're going to be known for a few different things. What I mean? Like in your background, because maybe you'll start speaking about your personal, like I have somebody who's going to be writing. She's publicly announced that she has a website and we can talk about it. She hasn't taken any stages about it yet, but she's going to be running for governor of Washington State. And she's great. And she's gone through, she's not well known yet. She will be. She's gone through changes in her political thing. This is why I'm taking her on, because she's doesn't want to be a party to whatever. She's like changed from different parties. But anyway, she's got a whole personal story. The reason I'm taking her on is not the politics. It's her personal story, because she has what I was like, wow, about her background. She wrote a book previously where she talked about things that a lot of women have dealt with but don't talk about. And she's dealt with a lot of them, from sexual assault in the military to domestic abuse to all this stuff. So she's talked about all that stuff. And now she's coming out to the political space. What do I do? I've got that out there. Well, you decide what you want to talk about where. But it's not, it's there. It's all there. You are the whole person, So I say don't, like, it's more what you want to promote, what your focus is on promote. You promote that and you make sure everything's aligned, but it will be, because you are aligned with it all, because that's you, right? So just think less about how do I have to create this vision and more about just elevate and celebrate what people, the awesome thing people are already doing. You don't have to prepackage yourself. Just tell me what your goals are.
And I think that's been my personal struggle, where I'm like, okay, well, if I start doing a little bit of, get out there and start getting interviews and so on, well, how do I want to position myself? Do I position myself as the CEO of my marketing agency, or do I position myself as the CEO of my health and wellness brand? Like, which one do I do?
I would say you're like you're a power woman, you're a power woman, multi-entrepreneur, right? Across industries. Why? Because those are your passions, right? And you have this podcast. So you teach people how to follow their passions for real, and sometimes, you know, and how to succeed, and how to not, you know, that's what I would make. I would make, you know how they say make every negative positive. That's not a negative in my point of view. But if you felt that was a negative, then you talk about that and you explain why. You know, why am I both those things? And they're not opposing each other, right? Like you're marketing your wellness brand, and you know, wellness is a part of everything.
Right.
And, you know, and as you as a woman and you as an entrepreneur and you as a, that's all, you know.
Connected, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say.
That's great advice. And I think to your point, you know, you have to be you, because the real you is what's gonna attract the journalists and you know, media to talk about you, because there's more to you than just, oh, you know, she's a entrepreneur for the health and wellness brand. Like, no, she's also a marketer and so on. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what steps they could take if they want to do it on their own. You know, our listeners want to start getting out there.
The number one thing to get around is to get your head around the difference between advertorial, which is what you're used to thinking about why you're about, you know, like what you put in an ad, and editorial. A good way to think about that is, everyone's like, I want to be on the news. Okay, well, watch the news. It's 22-minute broadcast. What do they put on that? Is it advertising? Is it the kind of thing, hey, new business just launched? No. You know, you have to, so if you want to get into the news, you have to have a topical reason. So say, one example is like, we'll get to the press releases in a minute, because everyone knows about press releases, but they don't know how to do them. So those are an important component. But before you even go there, just with the idea about editorial versus advertorial, a good way to train yourself to learn what journalists want is to go and dip your toes into the free versions of some of the things I spend hours a day and lots of money on, which are sites and platforms that allow reporters to connect with people who could be sources. So one of the free ones, the only problem with it is sometimes I've noticed you get, like, you'll see the requests, you know, a day after we see them on the paid ones. So the reporters have already got a lot of answers, but still I've had a ton of success with these, getting clients in things like Reader's Digest. These are specific ones I've got clients into using these. So for these, using these free platforms, I can tell you about in a minute, but I'm talking about getting them in things like New York Times, New Yorker, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, Houston Chronicle, NBC TV. So major, major media, right, uses these things. And you'll see things on them with, you know, with a deadline of Tuesday at 4, I'm writing for Reader's Digest, looking to speak to entrepreneurs who can talk about the biggest problems in business this year. I'm looking to speak to interior designers who can talk about what house to paint their, what color to paint their kitchen for sale. I'm looking to speak to moms with parenting tips. I'm looking to speak to authors of nonfiction books. Like literally everything you can think of, I'm not kidding, like from pest control to whatever. If you're watching those, eventually you'll see that the reporter might be getting 3 answers and they might be getting 100. Key is they're not looking for you to say, hi, I can answer those questions. They're looking for you to actually answer those questions quickly. So you want to send them in quick. Check out Harrow. Help reporter out. Harrow is one of them. It's one of the better known ones. You get on an email list. They send you 3 times a day and you see all these things. Then there's one Australian called Source Bottle. It's Australian, but there's still some North American stuff on there. There's one that I love, but you pay for it, called Quoted, Q-W-O-T-E-D. There's podcast matchup services too. There's, you know, so there's all kinds of things. Like, oh, there's also hashtags you can check out online. One that's mostly UK based is hashtag journal request. But if you check that a few times a day, you'll see all kinds of stuff about whatever. And so basically you go on here and you see that reporters who are on deadline with upcoming stories are looking for you. And so the key with those is to answer with something of substance that's on what they're saying. Something, don't over labor it and spend an hour writing an essay and sending, because number one, they're not asking you to write the article. They're writing the article. Yeah. They're just looking for quotes. Sometimes they may just take what you actually wrote, put it right in their quote, and then you're in the article, boom, nothing further, nothing. Other times they'll say, oh, that's great, you know, can I ask you a couple of questions? They'll ask you. And that's how every single magazine you read says, Jane in whatever says, you know, that's how the norm, literally Rolling Stone, everything uses these. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. But again, don't go in there and start either doing them or sending press releases out to your local media until you really know that you understand the difference between editorial and advertorial. Answer the question. Like, here's a perfect example, and I'll stop talking, but this is just really, really important point, right? Is like, I'd asked one client once, you know, it was literally Reader's Digest. They were a home improvement company, and Reader's Digest had a thing that was like, hey, what are some of the most expensive or difficult bathroom renovations that, you know, looking for contractors to answer and give advice to people. So they were looking, Reader's Digest was looking for something like, oh, well, you know, cabinets are hard to install. When you do it, make sure you blah, 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 or something like that. And then it would have said, says Maria with Maria's Contracting, you know, a company in North Carolina or whatever. You know what I mean? It might only be that one line, but it's gold, right?
That's it.
Instead of giving me that, and I had to be like, oh my God, okay, let me explain again. Because instead of that, he literally said something like, oh, this is, here's my quote. Well, bathrooms are really hard and expensive to renovate. This wasn't the exact quote, but basically like this, right? So instead, come to Bob's Contracting.
Yeah.
Reader's Digest is not going to print that, okay? Again, think about what you would actually put into a magazine. And same with the press releases. Don't reach out to your local media with what I'm 90% sure on first try that you're writing, unless you're skilled at this and really studied it, it's probably going to be more like an advertorial thing. Really think about, they're not in the business of giving you free media or advertising. They're happy to, they're struggling businesses too, media, right? So they're happy to send you to their ad department. Your job when reaching out to media, my job pitching my clients to media, is to actually understand their audience. And then understand the kind of stories that they might do. Okay. And then you suggest the story to them. And then it's up to them whether they agree it's a story for their audience or not, or a story for that time.
So helpful. Thank you so much for literally sharing all these secrets. These are secrets, and I hope
these are some good PR. It took me years to learn some of this stuff.
Yeah. How can our listeners get a hold of you, Tracy?
I would love them to. And I'd like to say too, I would be more than happy to do a free consult if anybody's listening and thinking, oh, you know, but how about this would really affect me? No, I'll actually talk to you about what we would specifically do for you and your business. And honestly, again, whatever your business is, you are an expert in it. And if you think, oh, why would media want to talk to me? Again, you wouldn't be in business charging people money for what you do if you didn't know that you were good at it and better than most people at it.
Exactly.
So take that same confidence that you had to get into business and get into media and use media strategically, free media. You might pay a publicist to find this for you and smooth the way and make it easier for you and say the nice things and, you know, all that. Or you might try to do it yourself. But either way, get into the game. Don't be afraid to do it. And again, really remember that the only difference between you and the people that are getting the awards like me or the people that are on the stages like me is that we got out and did it. You know, it's not because we're better or special that we wake up, you know, no, it's because we just did it. So you heard that half of success is just showing up. So show up for media, be there. They need you.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you.
And they can reach me, sorry, lamarimedia.com.
I'll have it in the notes too.
Yeah, if you spell my name right, they can find me on all the socials. LinkedIn is a great place to connect. And I have a Toronto number and a Beverly Hills number if they want to find those as well.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.